Up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. These few words set forth four prominent pictures that are the rest of the Word of God speaks about, and they're found in this chapter. These prominent pictures are, first of all, there's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Jonah is a picture of Christ himself. Secondly, we find also that Jonah portrays a sinner. He tried to flee away from the Lord God of heaven, and God wouldn't allow him. Thirdly, and last time we brought it out, there is also here a picture of God, the Holy Spirit, going after that individual and bringing that individual unto a saving knowledge of Christ. Then, today, we're going to speak to you on the basis of every person's salvation. Now, a lot of people today, they base their salvation upon everything and anything but the two realities. Your salvation experience must correspond with that which is found in the Word of God. You see, God has set forth how He saves a sinner on just about every page of His blessed book. You see it on the first page of the book of Genesis. You see it also in the book of Revelation. You see it in the book of Isaiah. You see it in the book of Colossians. You see it in the book of Acts. And you see it in Jonah. You see it in the book of Malachi. And you see also how God saves a sinner in the book of Matthew. Now, as I've said before, I want to say again, salvation is the theme of the entire Bible. In other words, God so loves the sinner so much that He puts forth on every, just about every page of His book, how He saves that individual. Now, the Lord does this for a definite reason. Not only does He want us to know how He saves a sinner, but He wants to save us. And then our Lord also puts it in there so that we can be absolutely sure that we are converted. You see, our salvation experience must correspond to that which is found in God's Word. Christ is the basis of our faith. The Word of God gives us the assurance of our faith. Christ is the object of our faith, and God's Word speaks to us of our faith. And we find that it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, if and when it does, when the Lord God of heaven saves a sinner. Now, God's salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. God's salvation also has a basis, and this basis is a person. Now, in Jonah chapter 1, we're going to show you for the next few moments the basis of every individual's salvation. Notice, if you will, as we read the entire chapter, we find that God sent out a great wind into the sea. The sea began to be very tempestuous, and it began to rock and roar, and we find there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that this boat was about to be swamped. These sailors, experienced sailors, became deathly afraid. This is what God does when He sets out to save a sinner. The first thing He does, He has to awaken that individual out of his condemnation. He has to awaken that individual out of his confidence, and He has to awaken that individual out of his own ability and out of his own works. And we find this is what the Lord did with regard to these sailors. Then our Lord shows the individual how they must be saved. And our Lord shows also the basis of every individual's salvation. Now you look with me, if you will, in Jonah chapter 1, and we find in verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Now notice this reality right here. these sailors knew, and they knew that they knew it, that God could save them or let them go. They told Jonah, "You call upon your God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Oh, friend, today, is the Lord dealing with your heart at this hour? My hope and prayer is that He is, that He's dealing with you. And if He is dealing with you at this hour, my hope is that He's made you so deathly afraid that, as it were, you won't dare even go outside. Now, this is what God does when He begins to set out to save an individual. He shakes that sinner's confidence, and He makes that individual realize that he stands at God's disposal. Then the Lord begins to show that person with whom He's dealing the basis of salvation. Now, it falls into four categories. First of all, the basis of every individual's salvation is this. Salvation depends upon a person. Now, you're not saved by works. You're not saved by ordinances. You're not saved by emotion. You're not saved by anybody but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how this is brought out in Jonah chapter 1. Salvation is dependent upon a person. In verse 7 we read, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." Now notice, these sailors were shut up unto one thing. The only way they could be saved was that they had to trust in Jonah. They had to throw him overboard, but they also had to trust in the words that Jonah told them when he said, "Take me up and cast me overboard, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." You see, the salvation of these sailors depended upon Jonah. Notice carefully, they had to rely upon him. They had to believe what Jonah said, and then they had to absolutely depend upon Jonah's death for their salvation. In like manner, the same thing is true today. My friend, before you can be saved, you've got to believe that God is. And my friend, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is God's eternal Son. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is God's only substitute there is for sinners. In other words, you have to believe what God says about Christ. Then also, you have to believe Christ Himself. You know why? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. These sailors had to depend upon Jonah. Notice also, they had to believe him. They had to act upon what he said. And in like manner, the Lord God of heaven tells you at this hour, sinner, you must repent. I tell you likewise, I tell you that ye shall all likewise perish, except ye repent. And God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must also believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, and you must believe in Christ. You can't be saved by a church. You can't be saved by baptism. You can't be saved by an experience as tongues and healing. You've got to be saved by a person, and that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing about these men was this. We find also, not only did their salvation depend upon a person, but we find that they were saved because of the substitution of another. In Jonah chapter 1, and we find in verse 14 down through verse 16 these words. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. The second thing about salvation is this. Not only does it depend upon a person, but we find that every individual who ever gets saved is saved because of the substitution of another. Did you notice? These men had to pick up Jonah and throw him overboard. Now get this, and get this very clearly. Nobody else would do. Jonah was the only Jew on board this ship, my friend. Let it soak in. Our Lord is the only Jew that the Lord God of heaven will ever accept as your substitute. You see, Christ Jesus, God's eternal Son, was born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, He was born in a Jewish family, and He was a Jew. And we find that today, while people are hating the Jews and doing their best to kill them, rest assured of one thing, there's only one Jew that's able to save, and that Jew is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jonah had to be the substitute of these men, and the Lord Jesus Christ has to be your substitute, and praise God, He is. For God hath made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, the third thing about salvation was this. There had to be a satisfaction given unto the Lord. In Jonah's case, the only way that storm could be stopped was the casting of Jonah overboard into the sea. In like manner, the only way that God could stop His storm of wrath from falling upon a sinner is through the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as these men picked up Jonah and threw him overboard, they just knew that Jonah had died. In like manner, their hands were responsible for the death of Jonah. So, with regard to Christ, your hands are responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must depend upon Christ. There is none other. There's no other way for God to be satisfied. Because, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now notice what happened. Here you have also the instantaneous reality of salvation. Their salvation of these sailors depended upon a person. They were saved because of the substitution of Jonah. Thirdly, there was the satisfaction of the Lord, which was obtained only by the death of Jonah, as far as these men were concerned. And then notice, immediately there was the stopping of the storm. We find in verse 15, So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. One moment there was a raging storm. The next moment there was an absolute calm. In like manner, when God saves a sinner, one moment the sinner stands before God, guilty, condemned, helpless, pleading, begging, wondering, expecting God's worst, and the next moment the Lord God of heaven saves that sinner, and in its place there comes the reality that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Then also notice this, if you will. These sailors knew very clearly these two realities. They knew what it meant to be delivered. In like manner, when God saves you, my friend, you'll know when the Lord saved you. And I'll tell you something else. You will also know how the Lord God of heaven saved you. These sailors knew the same thing. Notice carefully, their salvation came by blood and power. So does your salvation, if it's of God. Your salvation comes by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your salvation comes as God in power applies His salvation to your soul, so that you are enabled to believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal substitute. And my friend, you never get over it, do you? Now in this closing moment, you ask yourself this question, if you will. Is this how God saved you? Is your salvation dependent upon Christ and Christ only? Is Christ Jesus your substitute and none other? Or are you depending upon works or emotion or some other sign to deliver you? Oh, my friend, remember, there's no salvation apart of Christ. And my hope is you'll trust Him even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.